Good morning to all of you. There's definitely still going to be people coming in. Welcome to all the Heston Fly people. Welcome to EMU. Anyway, so we're going to start today with just some worship. So if we could start before we get there with a word of prayer, that'd be great. Heavenly Father, thank you for our opportunity together to come together this morning. We thank you that we are the majority of the way through our week, that we have 2 days of rest and time to just be with people, catch up on some work, and to be with you, God. We thank you for that. And we thank you for Anton and what he will bring this morning. And we pray that he will speak words from you and that they will speak directly to us, God. In your name we pray. I invite you all to stand while we worship.
Oh, let our praise be your welcome. Let our souls be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts with your life. We are here for you. We are here for you.
To you our hearts are open.
Our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down.
Let our shout.
Let our shout. Your renown fill the sky. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you.
To you our hearts are open,
nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. You alone are holy, only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down.
Sing, we welcome you with praise.
Welcomed in this place.
you're calling me to lay aside.
You're calling me to lay aside the worries of my day, to quiet down my busy mind and find a hiding place. Worthy.
Father, we pray that you would enter us into a time of listening, a time of our hearts being receptive to what you have to say. You would, speak through Anton as he comes and shares with us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may all be seated.
Appreciation for this team. This is Colton's team from Celebration, and they lead once or twice a month on Sunday evenings. Thank you for leading in chapel today as well. I'm Brian Martin Burkholder, University Campus Pastor, and excited to have visitors with us today, those from Heston and any from the community. We are so pleased to have you on campus and here in chapel in particular. Our theme for the year is Many Parts, One Body, coming from Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, and we're drawing from Romans 12 this morning as Anton further develops what he's been working on for spiritual renewal events, place your life before God, from Romans 12, 1 through 6 and 9 through 13, and especially drawing from verse 9, the title of this chapel, Love from the Center of Who You Are. Listen for that as we share God's word this morning. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for God. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not by what we are and what we do for God. In this way, we're like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts of Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Our speaker this week, Wednesday, today, and in the lunch yesterday, and in some classes and some homes of students this week, is Anton Flores Maisonet. And he's co-founder of Casa Alterna, a hospitality house in Georgia devoted to faithful acts of mercy and justice alongside its Latinx neighbors. And Casa Alterna serves as a hub for connecting and empowering neighbors via tutoring, community organizing, and popular education. Anton has been a speaker at numerous conferences and conventions, including that of Mennonite Church USA. He's been here on campus several times and at some of the other schools. I wonder, have you been to Heston College? Yes. When?
A number of years ago.
So you folks, you won't maybe have him there while you're students, but he's here and that's great. And Anton holds degrees in social work from Georgia State University and the University of Georgia. Anton, we're so pleased to have you and welcome you up to the stage. And as he's coming, I want to remind you that this is a 40-minute chapel. Third period classes don't begin till 10:50, so there's no need to start leaving at 10:30.
Thanks. Unless I just say something you don't like, and then feel free to exercise your right to self-determination at that point. And so welcome and thank you. Welcome to the Heston students, and thank you all of you for making this such a warm, welcoming week for me. Heston, as soon as I do, I just have one question. Did you bring me any Droobers? Oh, okay. Tell Todd, is Todd Lehman still the campus pastor there? Yeah. Tell him I said hello, please. I'm like, please do. And if you don't leave at 10:30, maybe you tell him it's time for me to come back to Little Heston. So I would love to reconnect with you all. It has been a privilege to spend this week with you all and to be in and out of your lives and learn about the passion for dumpster diving that some of you have, and to hear about the heart for service that so many of you have, and just to be in the beauty of this campus and of this environment around us. And so it is a privilege to be here. And so I want to just jump in and kind of talk about this passage. And the title for this message is Love from the Center of Who You Are, which is what was implored in that verse that we just read from Romans. But my first question is, who are you? If you love from the center of who you are, then my first question for us is who are you? And you all are at a point developmentally where that's a very big question. Like, this is who my parents are, and this is who my parents tried to raise me to be. And now I'm in this place, and I'm already being thrust into, what do I want to major in? Who do I want to become? But there's a bigger question. Who am I? You know, if I were to come up to you and I'd say, who are you? The first thing you'd probably want to tell me is your name. And I'd say, well, great, that's what your parents gave you at birth, but who are you? And the question gets more and more complex. Maybe you try to tell me some role that you play on your college campus, in the community, within your family. But I could still ask you, yes, that is the role you play, but who are you? You'd say a student, a child, a friend. Are we simply just the roles that we play? Who are we? If we're called to love from the center of who we are, then that first question is, who are we? Who am I? I think there's another question in this that I think is fundamental to understanding who we are, and it's implied in this, and it should be central to all of this, is also this other question of, who is God? We could go through all the names of God, right? We could talk about the different roles of God, the titles of God. But who is God? If you were to strip down God to God's very essence, what would you find? Judgment? A disconnection? Or would you find love? Who is God when you strip away everything else? And who am I when you strip away everything else? God is love. Not the love of our sappy love songs on the radio, and not even necessarily the love of some of our sappy Christian songs, right? I mean, some of them can be, you can just replace Jesus for baby and you'd have almost the same song, right? Søren Kierkegaard, in the 19th century philosopher, theologian, said this: love does not want to be sung about. No offense, this was a great, I thought you wrote that second song, and it's going to tie in beautifully with this message. So let me even say this. It says, love does not want to be sung about. Let me also say, love does not want to be preached about. Okay, so that kind of put us both in. Kierkegaard said, love wants to be accomplished. Love does not want to be sung about or preached about or talked about. Love wants to be accomplished. I wish he'd used a different word because it reminds me of something that Jesus said. I wish he had said, love wants to be finished. For wasn't that what love said on the cross? It isn't talked about. It isn't sung about. But Jesus said, it is finished. 14 months ago, I lost a very dear friend. Her name is Norma. A little bit about Norma. Norma was born in Mexico City and came to the United States about 16 years ago now to be reunified with her husband, Arturo. They had one child that she brought with her across the desert at the age of about 5. He actually applied to EMU and was accepted to EMU, but they were both undocumented, and he couldn't figure out a way to make attending here work. Norma, when she gave birth to her second son, Gabriel, God's messenger, 15 years ago, went from the delivery room to intensive care because her kidneys shut down. She went into complete renal failure. And so here she was, this mother of two, in a culture where she couldn't speak the language, she didn't have documents, she didn't have health insurance, and now she was facing in her 20s a medical crisis where she was told that she would either have to have a transplant or live on dialysis and her life would be truncated. Norma and Arturo and Charlotte and I developed a bond, a deep bond, born out of that crisis. So much so that Arturo and Norma are actually the co-founders of Alterna. And we lived interdependently together for 14 wonderful years. Through all the ups and downs of her infirmity, through the congestive heart failures, through the changes in her dialysis, through all the scares in ICU, through the being cut off of Medicaid and trying to figure out how does she now do this without any financial assistance. And yet it was Norma who taught me about love. About a love that isn't just words, but about a love that comes from who we are. Norma taught me that love is a lived testimony. Norma hated titles. She didn't like when someone used the title of reverend or pastor. She didn't even care about denominational titles. She wanted to know, what was your testimony? Norma taught me that love is joyful simplicity. It's that stripping down of everything to that one essential thing that is joyful simplicity. Norma loved waterfalls, and although physically it was always a challenge for her, anytime we could get up to the North Georgia Mountains, she just wanted to see the waterfalls. She lamented that in her 15 years of living in LaGrange, anytime she saw trees being cleared for quote-unquote progress, she loved children. Her home was always filled with children. She was the caregiver for so many people's children, and it brought her joy, and it brought her so much sadness when her infirmity wouldn't allow her that joyful simplicity of caring for children. I can still hear her calling out my son's name as we would walk in. She always made it a point to draw out the children in a space. So Norma taught me that love is a lived testimony. It's something that is accomplished. That love is a joyful simplicity. But that also that love is gracious vulnerability. In spite of all of her insurmountable barriers, I'm not sharing anything with you that is violating the confidences that she had within our circle and with God. She couldn't go out into the world, but as delegations would come from EMU and Heston and other places, we would sit in her living room. The world would come to her. And out of that small little space of her own hospitality, she would share her gracious vulnerability. She would share the joys and the pains of being undocumented. She would share the joys and the pains of seeing her children being raised in the United States and the opportunities afforded to them, but the lamentations of being disconnected from her mother. She would talk about the sorrows and the woes of her own sickness, but she would also turn that and always talk about how that became the capacity for her to identify with the sufferings of other people, and that no matter how much suffering she was going through, she always seemed to want to identify with the sufferings of others and keep her own suffering in perspective. Love from the center of who you are. Who are you? In the creation story, we learn that God forms humankind and first forms the man out of the dust and out of his own breath. The man, Adam, is formed. And Adam is told, like, these are your boundaries. You are to freely eat of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat. Okay, so Adam is saying, I know my boundaries, but who am I? And that's when God realizes something, that if humankind was to be the image and likeness of God, that Adam would need a community. Because God is a community of oneness. This idea that we call the Trinity, it's this idea of this community of oneness. And so if we are created in the image of God, then we are created for community. And so God says, everything else God made, God said, and it was good. But when he realized that Adam was saying, who am I? God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And so he created a rescuer and created community. And the ways for that community to expand. We are formed in the image of God. And when you strip down God to God's very nature, God is love. And God is community, and we express love within the context of community. And within community, we receive and we understand love. Love is at the center of who we are. And so we must love from the center of who we are. I love the phrase when Adam and Eve are created, and unfortunately, we have totally distorted this in this hypersexualized culture, but the idea that when Adam and Eve were created, that it said what? They were naked and unashamed. That's why I love that second song, because it talked about an unashamed love. Loving from the center of who you are means that you can find the capacity to love in a way that you are naked, meaning that you are vulnerable. There's nothing more vulnerable than our nakedness. So loving requires that we be vulnerable with one another. But loving also requires that we live in a context and in a culture where there isn't shame, where we have grace. And that's why Norma taught me about gracious vulnerability, a place where I could develop my own gifts and she could develop her own gifts, and together we could be the body that was naked and unashamed. We were gracious towards one another and vulnerable with one another. If only our churches were that way, right? The church is the place where we should be able to be naked and unashamed, where we should find grace and the capacity to be vulnerable, where we can take off our mask, where we can have our illusions clarified by the gospel, by the good news, that we are no longer clothed in shame, but that God covers us in grace. And so, we can, as Paul exhorts us, be genuine with one another because love is at the center of who we are. And we can hold fast to that which is good because love is at the center of who we are. And we can love one another because love is at the center of who we are.
And we can honor one another because love is at the center of who we are. And we can zealously and ardently serve the Lord. Why? Because love is at the center of who we are. We can rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer because love is at the center of who we are. And it doesn't have to stay in just that, in that little silo of who we are. We can contribute to the needs of others and even extend hospitality to the stranger. Why? Because love is at the center of who we are. Amen. Amen.
So love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil, and hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Thank you for being with us this week. Let's thank Anton once again. And send you with love. And charge to love, continue to love across borders with an inventive hospitality. And continue, as Anton and Charlotte and Alterna, to love from the center of who you are. I know you will. But know that we send you again out in that way, as much as it's ours to do. That's just through Christianly, brotherly, sisterly love.